Welcome back to the Press and Coverage Podcast. I'm Mason, and then in his fabulous podcasting studio in Happy Valley, not California, Pennsylvania, is Max Wiener. Max, how are you doing on this fine night?
I am doing absolutely fantastic, Mason. You know, another day, another pod, that's what they all say. And I got one question for you. You got Lay it games? On,
dude, I got all the games. And by all the games, I mean I have The Witcher 3.
That's all you need in life.
Exactly.
So, today on the podcast, we are going to be wrapping up the Electronic Entertainment Expo that just went down in California. The biggest gaming expo of the year. There was a lot of huge announcements that happened there.
Huge!
It was a very entertaining show. So we're going to go down the list of the major conferences. We already did talk about two of them on a previous pod, but we're going to go over the ones that happened after the fact.
And we covered EA and Microsoft already, but we will do a little brief about those again for those that missed it.
Definitely. So to start things out, let's talk about Ubisoft. What are your thoughts on them, Mason, on their conference?
Well, they had one of my favorite openings of any of the conferences. They had Mario and Rabbids, the new RPG that is coming out, which is a very weird crossover when you think about it, but one that kind of works. It's the Rabbids from the Raving Rabbids series from Rayman, and they're putting them into the Mushroom Kingdom, the world of Mario. And they made a very interesting strategy RPG, and it's very interesting. It's called Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, and it's like a turn-based sort of cover like it's kind of like an XCOM game, really, but set in the Mario world with Rabbids, and it's very interesting. It's things that you wouldn't think would fit on paper, but it looks good. And then, of course, they brought out my boy from Nintendo. They brought out Shigeru Miyamoto, and I absolutely lost my mind. And he came in holding like this weird weapon thing in the game. But he's just one of my favorite people. He's such a good guy. He's so nice and funny, and he loves games. And
so passionate about what he does.
He is also, I should say, he is the godfather of modern gaming. Because for those who don't know, he programmed Mario, Zelda, all those old Nintendo classics that a lot of us hold dear today. So that was my favorite opening of any of the shows.
I thought the game looked really interesting. Like you would never pair those two franchises together, and even more, you wouldn't pair it to be a turn-based strategy game.
Exactly. It like I said, it's a lot like an XCOM game where it requires a lot of strategy, and you're attacking, you lay out, you plan out your moves, and then your enemy makes their moves right after you. So it's very interesting, and I'm really actually very excited to see it, and it's coming exclusively for the Nintendo Switch. So there's another game for the Nintendo Switch that is coming soon. I believe it comes out in, what, August, was it?
Did they set a date for it? I didn't see a date. Oh, yeah, August 29th is the date.
Yeah, that's right. So it's right around the corner, man.
Especially the Switch needs it. There was the big Zelda game, and I think ARMS just came out the other day. But other than that, there really hasn't been too terribly much out for the Switch. So this is huge, especially for a franchise that is not a staple for Nintendo fans to say, hey, we're going to come over to the Switch and do that. I think that's fantastic. But more about the Switch later when we get over to the Nintendo conference.
Yep.
So I think the biggest announcement that everyone was looking forward to for Ubisoft was Far Cry 5. So what do you think of that announcement?
Well, there is a button that lets you pet your dog. I'm sold. I'm absolutely in. So Far Cry 5 was announced about a week before the actual show. But we got some serious gameplay, and it looks fantastic. And so with Far Cry 3 is one of my favorite games of all time. And Far Cry 4 was good as well. It was kind of more of the same, which, again, like I am personally okay with. And I kind of gave that one a pass because it was the first Far Cry designed for the next-gen consoles. But this one looks like it's coming back in America. You've got that vintage Far Cry like vibe, but at the same time, it's back home, and we're used to going to these exotic locales, but this one is set in Montana. So I'm super excited for it. I can't wait to see all the Far Cry humor, but in America. I'm very much looking forward to it. But I think the most exciting announcement, while it wasn't announced at the show, we did get to see the head of the team was when the Assassin's Creed leader, the guy that I'm forgetting his name, I think it's Ash. He came out. He was the lead on the Assassin's Creed Black Flag team. He came out and said, "Hey guys, we're back. We've been working on this game for 3.5 years, and we got to see some more gameplay of Assassin's Creed Origins, which I am very much excited for. I think the energy is back into this franchise. I think a year off was the best move for it, honestly. I think it gets people more excited for it, and really gets rid of that franchise fatigue that we're kind of used to. And even though, in my opinion, I think that Black Flag was great, was top three games in the series. And Unity was very glitchy. I didn't understand the hate. It wasn't that bad, in my opinion, but I understand why people didn't like it, just because of the glitches. And I think Syndicate, in terms of gameplay, just strictly gameplay, was the best and most tight of all the series. But I get why there was the franchise fatigue, but I'm very excited for Origins. I'm ready to go jumping around Egypt and stabbing people.
I agree with you. I personally got a huge dose of franchise fatigue in the Assassin's Creed franchise. I played through 3, good game. 2 is... Nobody can argue. I think 2 is the best in the franchise still. Just because
I think 2, Brotherhood, and Black Flag are all the running for the best in the franchise. Sorry, continue though.
Yeah, so I honestly didn't play. I if I was at a friend's house and they were playing it, I would watch them play the last 2. But I personally did not pick them up, just because I really felt like they're like, hey, Call of Duty can do this. We can come out with a game every year and everyone will buy it, and it worked for 1 or 2 of them, but then after that it was just like, okay, what are you doing? But I am really interested in this, in Origins, especially since Mason and I, we actually went together and saw the Assassin's Creed movie that kind of got me into that franchise, because it is a really cool concept that I think that people forget how unique it is in terms of story. And I think that Origin is definitely trying to go back to the series roots and try to reinvigorate the franchise, which I really hope it does, because it is a really cool setting to be in.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that was one of the, for me at least, that was one of the huge draws of the Assassin's Creed games was getting like to learn like that history, that mythos of not only like this like whole invisible war that's going on behind the scenes of history, but also just getting to learn all about just history and just the geography really of each location. I thought was really cool. Like, the Assassin's Creed 2, all the stuff, all the culture and architecture, and I know it is a video game, so people might be laughing like, oh, haha, Mason learned something from a video game. But seriously, though, like, Assassin's Creed 2 did a phenomenal job, just doing a good job of demonstrating the Italian culture and during the Renaissance. But also, they did kind of show how the country got to where it was based on, you know, where it was in during the Renaissance time. So I think that's very interesting, and I'm very excited to see Egypt, because this is the farthest back in time that they've ever gone in the series. So I'm very much looking forward to it. I already have high expectations for the game.
You know, and what's...
No, you're good. I was going to say, also, they've added some new RPG elements to the game that I'm very much looking forward to, that remind me a lot, that look similar to those RPG elements that are in Horizon Zero Dawn. So that's just those are my brief thoughts on that.
You know what's the one setting that I'm still so surprised that they have not explored?
Texas.
Okay, yes, but also just feudal Japan. I feel like they'd be perfect. Like, ninjas, it's exactly what ninja and assassin, it goes together. I think it'd be really cool.
I think they had one of those downloadable, I might be wrong, I think that might have been in China, but I do think they had one of those downloadable games, because they had like the Assassin's Creed like story, like that. I forgot what the title of those games were, but they were like downloadable games. And there was one that took place in Russia and one that took place in either Japan or China. But no, you're right. I would love to see like that. It was a side-scrolling game. I would love to see like a full-blown Assassin's Creed game in Japan.
That would be so fun, I think. I could definitely see them taking that step sometime in the future, since they are establishing that the story goes as far back as ancient Egypt.
Yeah. So, and I'm also looking forward to the whole Origins title to really see what their take on how the Assassins started. So I'm looking forward to it.
So another game that I don't think anyone was expecting was Beyond Good and Evil 2. Yes. I have personally never played the first game, but I know it is a cult favorite on the PS2 Xbox generation. So yeah. I think that's really cool, them saying like, hey, we know this franchise is popular, we're going to do a prequel, if I read the things correctly.
It is
a prequel, correct?
So I can go a little bit in depth on Beyond Good and Evil. So the original game came out a while ago. I'm forgetting the exact date, but
2003.
Yes, and we were very young when that came out. But people have been wanting a sequel to this game since forever. Like there's been a long running joke that it's kind of turned into like a comedy, really, is that the two games that we are never going to get are Half-Life 3 and Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Too soon.
And well, dude. It's never going to happen. Beyond Good and Evil 2 is, they said that it is a prequel that takes place in a very interesting, multicultural, very diverse location. And it isn't a, I think it's on a, it is on a different planet than the original Beyond Good and Evil. But it was a sci-fi kind of like weird combat photo game. But it was very, very interesting, and it was a lot of fun. The characters were so cool, and my only problem with this game is that you're not gonna see Jade, the main character, or at least I don't believe you are.
It's before she was born, so.
Yes, it is a prequel, and that being said, this game looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun. We haven't seen any gameplay, we just know that it is in development. They gave us a fantastic trailer at E3.
Beautiful.
And nobody saw this coming. Like, the reaction, I wish I could have heard it, because I'm sure it was absolutely nuts when you saw the mouth of the pig, because I think that's when people kind of knew right away, is like, oh crap, this is the sequel to Beyond Good and Evil. But then when the title came up, the crowd just lost their mind, and so I'm so happy for everybody. I know this game is going to make a lot of people very happy, so thank you, Ubisoft, thank you.
So one more game I do want to talk about, their conference. Kind of stupid, but I think that they do a fantastic job at making, they know what they want to make and they make it. The new South Park game, The Fractured Yes. Butthole.
Yes, one of the best titles in gaming history for sure.
But it's hilarious. It takes what is so funny about the show and turning it into a video game. And I didn't get to play the first one, but they look like they did a very good job with it. And I'm definitely thinking about picking this next one up, because it does look very funny, and it does look like a solid RPG.
Yeah, and it's, you wouldn't think so, because it's a South Park game, but the first one was, The Stick of Truth, was a lot of fun, and had great RPG elements, and I think this one is looking to improve on all the areas that the first one had. All the elements that the first one had, I'm sorry. And I think this one could be better. I don't know if it'll kind of recapture that original magic, just because that's a problem that a lot of sequels have. But it looks like it's a lot of fun, and so I'm looking forward to it. I'm always down for some classic South Park humor.
And actually, there's one more game that we haven't talked about yet that I think definitely deserves a mention. Skull and Bones.
Yes. Oh, yes. So there have been rumors that this game has been in development for a while, but after Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, people have been kind of been asking for that Ubisoft-developed pirate game. And this game is all about looting and being a pirate on the high seas. I don't believe there's any land gameplay, but it appears that it's going to be with you, and you and your friends can form a pirate gang, go out, defeat other pirate gangs, get treasure, and you have to escape before the pirate hunters come in and destroy your ship. So it looks like it's a lot of fun. It looks like there might be a little more strategy involved in the game than people might give credit for, just because you have to plan your moves, but I'm looking very much forward to it, Max. What about you? What were your thoughts?
I just watched the gameplay trailer, and I found it to be interesting. It was weird because it was gameplay, but you weren't really getting the perspective of an individual character that you would be playing. But it seems like a really cool concept. I'm interested to see, is this just going to be an exclusively multiplayer game? Is it going to be a story aspect to it? But definitely, other than Black Flag, I can't think of a big franchise that has tried to approach the pirates sort of story. And it'd be really cool that finally video game is tapping into this genre that I think could be really cool. It's perfectly set up for gaming. And I think that it's going to be a really cool concept. I'm also interested to see, is this a, like, I can't say first-person shooter, but a first-person action game? or a strategy game, because it didn't really look like there was combat.
I don't think you play as a single character. I think you just command the ship. Well, I don't know. We barely know anything about it, but I know you were able to control ships, and you can jump back and forth between the different ships, and your friends can control the different ships. Like, one person controls the big ship, the other one controls the small, faster ship, and you can both attack from different ways and whatever. It's not a strategy game, but I think there are some strategy elements in planning an attack on another player's boat. So that's what I was more talking about. But speaking of pirate games, we'll talk about this when we get to the Microsoft press conference again, but Sea of Thieves, man. Sea of Thieves is a lot of fun. It's another pirate game, but it's a lot more lighter in tone than this, which is not a good thing, which is not a better, not saying it's better, but it is different. I think that is good for gaming, that we're not getting two of the same type of games. But we'll talk more about Sea of Thieves in a little bit.
Definitely. Anything else you want to say? You ready for our final ratings of the Ubisoft?
Yeah, I am absolutely down. Max, you go first.
I think that they did a very good job. Definitely Beyond Good and Evil 2 was a huge announcement. Nobody was expecting it. They knocked it out of the ballpark for that. There was really nothing in their conference that I would call bad. So I'm going to give them an A-. Because
nice.
I think that they did a awesome job. They are definitely on the right track. Definitely after some of their kind of shortcomings from a few years ago with their pay-to-play sort of things that they're trying to push. I definitely think they're getting back on track as a developer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they've always been a talented developer, but yeah, I'm going to give them an A just because they announced two. Well, okay. I believe only one real continuation to a franchise, and that was Assassin's Creed, I believe. I might be wrong on that. But yes, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is a continuation of a franchise, but nobody saw that one coming. Nobody saw that one coming. So they announced almost exclusively brand new titles. So I'm going to give them an A, because I think that is what E3 is about, is showing us, yes, we are working on your favorite franchises, but here's everything new. Here's all these new things that you're going to be able to play. And so that's why I give them the A, because they announced a ton of brand new titles and independent IPs. So that's why I give them the A.
Definitely. This Ubisoft conference was definitely a benchmark for what E3 keynote should be. And any developer who thinks their keynote fell short should definitely look at Ubisoft's and model theirs after the one they put on, because they did a fantastic job this year.
Yeah.
So next up on the list, we're going to talk about one of Mason and I's favorite developers, Bethesda. Do you want to start things out?
Oh, man, we got a good trip to Bethesda land, as they called it this year. And we only got a guy that came up to speak for about, I think, maybe 3 minutes, and that was all. And it was kind of like a sizzle reel and a bunch of trailers back to back to back to back to back, which was fine, because honestly, what I like a lot about Bethesda's press conferences is that they always, not always, but since they've done it the past two, I think this was their third year that they've had their own conference. What they like to do is they like to show, hey, here's what we're working on. You'll be able to play it in 5 months or in like right around the corner. And that's what they did with Fallout 4. Fallout 4, they showed everything in June, and you were able to play it by November. So I think that is awesome, and that gets me very excited for their products. One of probably the most anticipated things, and we got to see The Evil Within 2. We got to see, my personal favorite was the Dishonored 2 DLC. I believe it was called the Death of the Outsider, or Killing of the Outsider, one of those two.
Death of the Outsider, yeah.
Yes, and it takes place after the events of Dishonored 2, and you play as one of the characters in the original game, Dishonored 2, called Billy Lurk, and that character was very, very interesting and had a great arc throughout that entire game, and getting to step in the shoes of this character is an awesome experience, and I'm much looking forward to it. We then also got to see Fallout VR a little bit more, and that looks like a lot of fun. I don't want to say this is the killer app for VR, for VR gaming, because I think that's a very high horse to put something on just for it to kind of fail. But I am excited for this. This, beyond anything, might get me to go buy a VR gaming platform. So I'm...
Well, Mason, you know what the VR... sorry to cut in, but do you know that Fallout 4 VR is only compatible for the HTC Vive? Which means that you're going to have to build a gaming computer and the HTC Vive to be able to play this game.
I rescind my previous statement.
So that's very, very disappointing because I was so excited for Fallout VR. I'm like, I think this game would be awesome. This is a cool VR experience. And then they're pretty much saying, hey, none of these other VRs are going to be powerful enough to run this. That you're going to have to build a gaming computer, which people who mostly have VRs is not their primary objective. Say like the PlayStation VR, the thing is you have your PlayStation with it. So I was very disappointed. I could understand that they want to get out the best product possible, but I feel like the sales of this are going to fall short just because they're very much bottlenecking the audience that this game can have.
Yeah, I didn't know you had to build your own gaming computer.
Yeah, the HTC Vive is for computers. And I'm sure you need some sort of minimum RAM requirements, graphic cards requirements, and such to be able to run the extra console. That's why, I don't know if you've seen the PlayStation VR, it needs that whole big box thing with it because it needs a whole separate processing unit along with the PlayStation 4 for just to be able to function.
Oh, okay. But yeah, like we didn't... And then they ended the show. The big thing that they ended the show with was the sequel to Wolfenstein: The New Order, and it looks like a lot of fun. People were kind of worried that they would try and sort of just kind of go with the same tone that Doom has, which was phenomenal. Doom was awesome, but people didn't really want kind of two of the same tones. But it was good to see that Wolfenstein is kind of keeping that same self-aware, ridiculous World War II like comedy game. Well, it is a first-person shooter that is violent, but it understands what it is. It understands it's a game that has a ridiculous premise, but it owns it. So I'm looking forward to it. It looks like it's a lot of fun. Max, what about you?
Oh, I loved the first one. It's like you were saying, it's a game that knows what it is, and it runs off of that. People were worried when the other Wolfenstein, it was going to end up like Duke Nukem, kind of like this game that is really exciting and then just falls flat on its face. But they did a fantastic job with the first one. I loved the trailer for the second one. It was super cool. The setting that it's in is very interesting. An environment that really hasn't been explored. For people who don't know, it's set in a alternate version of history where the Nazis won World War II and then conquered the United States. It's only something that has been looked at in games like Homefront. So I'm really excited for it. It looks gory, it looks bloody, it looks funny. It just looks like the very much a homage to those late 90s PC games, which I can't wait.
Just imagine if you put like Transformers, like all the best parts about Transformers in the sci-fi, and combine that with Red Dawn, and that's kind of what you get with Wolfenstein. So yeah, and then also, I forgot to mention, we're getting Doom in VR as well.
Which should be, it looks like it's, so, I don't think you can move based on what people are saying. It's kind of like those arcade games where you just like shoot, and once you kill all the guys, they move you to a next area. But that's, like, Doom's cool, it looks fun, but this has been my biggest complaint with VR right now is that it feels like they have to dumb down the experience to be able to make it a VR game, which is not what I was excited for about VR.
VR is still on its training wheels, and so that's what I think we're kind of on right now. But you know, it's good to see that they're making progress and bringing those big titles to VR. So I think that is promising in some regard.
Did you ever play the first Evil Within?
I've seen other people play it. I have not personally played it myself. I'm not a huge horror guy, but I understand that that game had a lot of action horror in it, which I'm all down for. Like I've played like Outlast, and it was fun to play with a group, but I'm not a person that will play that game by myself. Sorry, I am afraid of the dark at times.
Yeah, I could only play Dead Space between the hours of 12 and 3:30 p.m. because that game is scary as hell.
But yeah, like, I mean, I am excited to see the franchise continue because the creative guy behind that is just awesome. He's done a lot of big projects in the past, and he's very, very talented and very great at, he's very good at what he does. So I'm glad that they're giving this genre more room to grow, especially with, and the story looks interesting. I'm very interested in the story of the second one.
Yeah, I'm also not too terribly big of a fan of those horror games, but I know this has been a fan favorite, especially the first one, so it's exciting that they're delivering a fitting sequel to it.
Yeah.
So, Mason, what would you say is your final score for the Bethesda keynote?
I'm going to give them a B-. I feel like, honestly, I should probably give them a C+, but there was nothing really stood out to me other than the Dishonored 2 thing. There was nothing that really got me super excited other than kind of just Dishonored 2 and the new Wolfenstein. And I think that's because next year I'm going to fall in love with their conference next year, I think, because I think we're going to have a lot more to announce because, like I said, they like to announce things right before they're ready to come out, and they don't have a lot of things that are ready to come out this year. So, I mean, there wasn't much, but it wasn't bad, and it was very quick and concise, and I enjoyed that. So I'm going to give it a B-.
I'm going to agree with you. I agree. I think if both Wolfenstein 2 and the expansion for Dishonored 2 were not announced, I think their conference would have just, nobody would have remembered it. I agree with you. They don't have anything ready, so they're not going to announce it. They're not going to do what most studios do and give you that short little teaser with just the title on it, which, good and bad, doesn't up the hype, but I think that Bethesda games speak for themselves, so they don't need to have that such advanced notice that other studios may need to generate hype around their games. But I'm really, really excited for Wolfenstein 2. I know you're a huge fan of the Dishonored franchise and that they're continuing to build content for that new world is really cool, and I'm glad that they're doing it, and I'm excited to see what they're going to do in the future. But also, Mason, are you excited to accept our Lord and Savior, Skyrim, for another 2 to 3 years?
Oh, well, you know, the best combat in the Elder Scrolls franchise. There are a few games that rival the amount of hours I've put into Fallout, but Skyrim is up there. And so more Skyrim is never a bad thing, in my opinion. They announced it for the Nintendo Switch, finally. And it's good to see that there's going to be another big title game on the Switch other than Breath of the Wild, which is one of the best games ever made. But I think that's good for the Switch. I'm glad that it's getting more of those long-hour titles with a lot of content that you can just sink your teeth into.
I agree. It's definitely everyone's like, oh, another Skyrim has kind of turned into a meme at this point. But it has not come out for the Switch, a major console of this generation. It definitely deserves one of the best RPGs of the 21st century. So I'm happy with it. I guess we can talk about this more with the PlayStation segment, but they did also, it is a Bethesda product, but they have Skyrim VR coming out. But that's a good segue into the next keynote we're going to talk about, which is Sony.
So this was my personal favorite conference. I don't think it was the best, but it was the one I was looking forward to the most. Kind of with Microsoft, the thing I was looking forward to most was the Xbox One X, but the conference I was looking forward to most was Sony's, and that's because I've been salivating to hear more about God of War and The Last of Us 2, and so we'll get into that in a little bit. But so this was an awesome opening. They opened up with another live musical performance. This time it led into the desert setting, it seems, of the Uncharted The Lost Legacy, which is it's almost a standalone game because it's priced at $40, but it takes place in the Uncharted universe. It stars Chloe, and I'm forgetting the name of the other girl, but she's in Uncharted 4, and this looks phenomenal. It looks like it's the last send-off to the Uncharted series for all those Uncharted fans. So I'm always down for a new Uncharted adventure. The writing team is phenomenal. They understand those characters so well. And it's a gorgeous looking game, and I can't wait to dive into it as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, as somebody who just converted over to the Sony side of the war for this generation, the one game that I've still been waiting to sink my teeth into is the Uncharted franchise. But I definitely, once I get a free 2 to 3 months, I'm going to pick up the remastered edition because I've heard such great things about the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate to, well, fortunate as in, like, I've cost myself a lot of money, and so I've played both sides of the field ever since the Xbox. the original Xbox. I've got Nintendo Xbox exclusives and PlayStation exclusives as well ever since. And I just recently, I finally got a PlayStation Pro about 4 months ago. And so I've gotten to play, catch up on all those things I missed. I've played Uncharted 4. I've played The Last Guardian. I have played Horizon Zero Dawn, which is one of the best PlayStation exclusives ever. It is such an awesome game. I'd recommend anyone check that out. And it is the most graphically impressive game I've ever played.
High praise.
And I just played it in 4K, and I just looked at the sunrise for like 30 minutes because it is beautiful. Like, I'm not kidding. This game is ridiculously like pretty. My favorite part about this, so I talked about it earlier, was the God of War, the new God of War trailer. We got to see a little bit more. We got to see a lot of gameplay, a little snippets here and there, but we finally got to see the World Snake, which was rumored to be in the last trailer that people didn't get a clear look of, but you finally got a clear view of it. And it just towers over Kratos, and people thought that it would potentially be a boss, which I still think it will be, but the trailer ends with your son, or what is believed to be Kratos' son, say, he wants to help us, which, personal opinion, I wish the trailer would have cut as soon as you see the giant snake. I thought that would have been a good place to cut, but, you know, I'm not the PR team, so whatever. But I thought that would have added a nice level of suspense, but this also adds a level of mystery to the game. That's the game I'm looking forward to the most to come out. So I'm honestly ready for Kratos' return in sparkling 4K. So that is one of my favorite games of the show. It is not my game of the show, but it's up there.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. The God of War is the cornerstone of Sony and their PlayStation consoles. So it's awesome that they're bringing out another one to the PS4 and the PS4 Pro. So I didn't get to play the first one for this generation, but I heard it did get high praise. So it'll be interesting to see. I expect great things. It's always been a fantastic franchise, so I expect nothing but the best.
Yeah. So I will say this though, I was so, and I get why, because I think that this studio was focusing too much on Uncharted: The Lost. The DLC for Uncharted 4, or I guess it's not DLC, my bad, the newest adventure, The Lost Legacy. So Naughty Dog, we didn't hear anything about The Last of Us 2, which is my most anticipated game that was not shown at E3, because I am a huge Last of Us fan. I just finished The Last of Us Remastered yesterday, and it is one of my favorite games of all time. It is in my top 10 for sure, and I was kind of sad that we didn't get another trailer or something to kind of keep the excitement going for that game until we finally see maybe some gameplay. But I think that is also because that game is not very far into development. I think they kind of just started right after Uncharted 4 ended, so there's still a ways to go on it before they can show us anything serious. So I'm okay with them waiting to show us something until it's ready, but at the same time, that doesn't mean I'm not disappointed by it.
Yeah, I understand. I think the hype for the game it was one of the most popular PlayStation exclusives. It was a fantastic game. I agree with you. It's definitely in my top 10 of...
In my opinion, it is the best PlayStation 3 game.
I would have to agree with you. I didn't have a PS3 at the time. I actually borrowed my roommate's PS3 to be able to play the game, and it was a ride. Great game. I'm definitely super excited for the second one, but I think that they don't need to hype it anymore. Like, it'd be cool. I would definitely appreciate another trailer, but it was already so massively successful. I think that just saying, hey, this is coming out, we'll be able to generate what they need.
Yeah. And I think just the excitement is just a testament to the characters in the world of The Last of Us. I think that people love those characters and love that world so much that they're ready to dive back in after the end of the first one. And I will say this, is that I know some people are kind of concerned with the fact that the first one ended so well. It wrapped itself up very well, but there was room for a sequel. And so people were kind of concerned, like, oh, are they just milking this? Is this going to be as good as the first? And to that I would say is that there are so many people that are just excited to dive back into the world and get to learn more, even more about those characters that they fell in love with in the first one. And that the same team behind the first one is working on it. So it is the same minds, the same heart, the same care that is going to go into it. So I would say it is literally in the best hands possible. So, you know, take heed, don't panic. I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I think the fact that we didn't see anything is speaking to that character. If they wanted to just get something out to be able to have something out and have them make money, they would have already sent it out on the market yet. This is their... They make the game because they love it, and they love the world they've created, and I think they're going to do a fantastic job with it, and it's going to live up to all of our expectations.
Yeah. So... Also, I'm super excited to see that we got more gameplay of Days Gone, which we kind of got like a very scripted gameplay demo of last year at E3, and we didn't really know what it was about. But this year, they really set up their game with Bend Studios, and it looks awesome. And it looks like it's an open world game, and you can really manipulate the environment to do what you want, to set up scenarios. Kind of, it reminded me kind of like The Last of Us, but also with a kind of Left 4 Dead vibe with just the amount of zombies on screen at once. So I'm also looking forward to Days Gone. My boy Sam Witwer looks like he's the voice actor for the main character in that game too, so I'm very excited for it. What other big thing? They did announce that Skyrim is coming to PlayStation VR, which is good. They announced a couple new PlayStation VR titles. They also showed further gameplay of Detroit, which is a very story-heavy game where you dictate the story by your actions, and it's very cool. And so the graphics on that look phenomenal, and it'll be very interesting to see. It's supposed to play a lot like Heavy Rain, but in a very new and interesting setting in the future. So that looks very... I have kind of high expectations for that, because I think that that the people developing this game are trying to bounce back after their last kind of mediocre outing. It was more movie than game. But this one looks like there is a lot of good gameplay in this one. And so they closed their conference by showing off gameplay of the new Spider-Man game that is being developed by Insomniac. And I am so excited for this game because we have not gotten a truly great Spider-Man game since Spider-Man 2 on the original Xbox and PlayStation 2 and GameCube. So that was awesome. The physics and the colors in that game looked so, so beautiful, and the combat looked very fluid and everything I was hoping it would be.
I'm so excited for it as well. I agree with you. I remember playing on the GameCube Spider-Man 2, and I remember not even doing the story. I would just swing around Manhattan because that's the coolest thing ever. You're freaking Spider-Man. I remember just climbing up to the top of the Empire State Building and jumping off of it because you can. It's just really cool. It's a unique way to have a sandbox game, and I think it's one of the most fun ways to have it. And it looks like, based on the gameplay so far, it looks phenomenal.
Yeah. And, you know, it looks like it's a lot of fun. I'm excited for it to come out. I can't wait. I really can't wait. And I think they said early 2018?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, man, 2018, the first quarter of 2018 is looking packed right now, man. It looks like they're just trying to cram like almost everything from E3 into the early part of 2018. So, I'm excited. I'm excited, man.
It's weird because normally they announce stuff at E3 that's going to be coming out during the holiday season, but it seems like a majority of the things are kind of shifting now towards the first yes. quarter of 2018, which isn't a bad thing, but it's an interesting tactic that yeah. we'll see how it pays off.
They also showed off more of the newest Call of Duty World War II, which I'm not gonna lie, I'm excited for it. I'm happy to see us go back to that old boots on the ground type game that kind of Call of Duty has its roots in. Call of Duty 2 is one of my favorite games. Has one of the most nostalgic memories of was Call of Duty 2, playing that at my friend's house. And I'm excited to see this game go back to World War II. It looks beautiful. And it feels like it feels like it's taking less of that Michael Bay action-heavy type that we've kind of associated with Call of Duty since Modern Warfare 3, really, and kind of go back to that more Steven Spielberg Saving Private Ryan type game, where it's about the characters and the gameplay. And not that I'm not saying that the gameplay of the other ones are bad, but like this one really focuses on the environment of World War II, and I'm really looking forward to that.
I cannot wait. I've been off the Call of Duty franchise since Black Ops 3. The whole serialized every year game just grew really old really fast for me.
Franchise fatigue. Yeah.
I there was really this saturation of World War II games. That's why they made their shift to more modern games and futuristic environments. So I'm really excited that they've reached this point where they can go back. It looks fantastic. I also have to say, Mason, I'm really glad you gave a shout out to Call of Duty 2. Big Red 1 is probably one of my favorite games of all time. I think I shed a tear when Brooklyn died. So great game. I love World War II. I used to be a huge history buff when I was a kid, and I love reading about World War II. So I'm really excited, and I really have high hopes for this new Call of Duty game.
Yeah, and the protagonist of the story is a 19-year-old from Texas. So I am already signed up. The quickest way to get me to buy a game is by telling me that the protagonist is from Texas. So shout out to The Last of Us. Shout out to Call of Duty World War II with them Texas peeps hanging in there strong. So yeah, that was really all the big things of Sony. I'm sure we missed something, but Max, what would you grade the Sony conference?
So going into it, the biggest thing I was looking for as somebody who owns the PlayStation VR was PSVR games that was going to get me excited, because my PSVR right now is sitting behind me on a shelf collecting dust, because the only time I touch it is when a friend comes over and is like, hey, this looks cool, can we try it out? And I show them the Batman VR game, they finish it in 20 minutes, and that's it. It's done. So that was a big letdown for me. Skyrim looked really cool, but they didn't show enough to really figure out, is this going to be a whole game, or are they just going to do what they do for most VR games and really dumb it down for that VR experience? But everything else, it looked interesting, but all of it at the bottom in big letters was, this is not the VR form of it. So they didn't show you any gameplay of actually VR, which would be very difficult to do unless they gave everyone in the audience VR headsets. I understand that. But they didn't even have ready prototypes for it. So that really fell flat for me. But to make up for it, New God of War, Call of Duty, the Detroit trailer, definitely Spider-Man. So I'm going to cut in the middle and give them just a solid B.
That's where I'm at too. I'm going to give them a B, leaning slightly more towards probably a B+, just because the biggest thing with Sony this year was that last year they didn't have a lot of release dates. But this year they have a ton. They announced a ton, so I'm excited for it. And also worth mentioning is that while this wasn't part of it, they did mention it about the night. I think it was the night before, while we were all sleeping, they announced a new Kingdom. They released a new Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer, which for everyone that is listening, Kingdom Hearts 3, this sequel has been asked for since 2005. In fact, that entire series has missed the PlayStation 3 generation, which is, I think, ridiculous. But just because Square Enix has been all over the place with all the different things they've been developing, we might see Final Fantasy VII Remake in 2020. I don't know, we might not. So it's good to see that Kingdom Hearts 3 is finally getting more and more push. Honest to God, I want this game to come out in 2018. Are my hopes set on that? Honestly, probably not, because every time my hopes get up for that game, I get burned, but yeah, B+. I'm going to give a B to Sony, leading towards a B+. And so, moving on to Microsoft, we already covered them yesterday, we talked about, but I want to give this a shout-out because I did not mention it. We finally got a release date for Cuphead, which is like one of the most beautiful stylistic games I've ever seen. It's like Steamboat Willie, Mickey Mouse styled, and it's got some platforming, but it's a lot of boss fights, and it looks gorgeous, and it's two-player co-op. It looks like it's a lot of fun. Something that, like, I think every time someone comes into your room and sees you playing that, they'll be like, holy crap, is this like a TV show? Or, oh, it's a game. So I'm very much excited and looking forward to this. I'm so glad I got a release date. It's coming out in September. I'm ready.
I was very impressed by that trailer. It's definitely, again, another style that really hasn't been explored in gaming. It's going to get an X version, correct?
Yeah, it's going to get a... It's coming out on the 1X. Everything we saw was coming out and running on the 1X.
Yeah, of so gameplay. I can't imagine how breathtaking it's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to look gorgeous. I mean, it already does look gorgeous, but like on the X, it's going to look like an actual TV show. So that's so cool. And another big announcement at Microsoft that we didn't talk about was State of Decay 2. This one has online co-op, so that is super exciting. You can jump in and jump out of another person's world without affecting it too much, so I'm looking very much forward to that. And Sea of Thieves, which is one of my most anticipated games as well, and it is a it is developed by Rare, one of the best developers of the 90s, and it looks like they're getting back to their bread and butter with just like their humor, their fun tones. And so, for those that don't know, Rare developed GoldenEye. They also developed Perfect Dark, another great game that came out in the 90s. So this is an open world pirate game that you play with other players, and you and your buddies, you go on like treasure hunts, you go and attack other people, and it looks like it's a lot of fun. I honestly, I can't explain too much of it because that we would be here all day, but safe to say that I am very much looking forward to this. It is looks like it's one of the most fun cooperative games to come out in a long time. So yeah, Max, do you have anything else for Microsoft?
No, I was very impressed by the conference. One X looks fantastic. I'm definitely interested to see when it comes out. I think really whatever my point back to back at a previous pod was really got everything across. They did a great job. Definitely just talking about them and Sony, which I feel like they go more head to head than with Nintendo. I think Microsoft came out on top of the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough for me. I think game wise, I think Sony, for me, Sony won that, even though Microsoft did announce a lot of new great IPs and the games looked beautiful. I think in terms of news and just in terms of just relevancy, I'm going to give it to Microsoft as well. I think Microsoft, I don't think they had the best show of E3, but I think that they had the one that people are going to be talking about.
That's exactly where I'm coming from.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we're both in agreement there. So do you want to move on to our last one?
Yep. So we are moving on to our the final conference, which again, it wasn't a long one, but they did pack a lot into the time that they had. So that is Nintendo. So to start things off, the major things Nintendo did was they announced new versions of their biggest and best franchises for the Nintendo Switch. Started off, they announced an expansion for Breath of the Wild, which I heard is absolutely fantastic. They announced a new Kirby game, a new Yoshi game, a Pokemon RPG, which should be interesting.
But for a lot of these things, though, they didn't announce a release date, which is my problem with their conference, which is my only real problem with their conference. We saw Super Mario Odyssey, which looks good, which I think that was the best part of the show. Because I really liked their show last year. Last year, all they brought was Breath of the Wild, and just people played it, and were like, oh my god, fell in love with this game. I think that drove a huge amount of the Nintendo Switch sales. But it was cool to see that they are working on a Metroid Prime 4, which is awesome. That is fantastic. But we don't know when it's coming out. We just saw a logo. So yes, that is cool, and yes, I'm excited for that. But that could be 3 years away, and that is my problem with that. Like, yes, you have all these things you're working on, but when are they going to come out? Like, that for me, that is a big thing, because if you have delays and you need to put out a good product, that's even more time. Like, for example, you look at Final Fantasy VII Remake. That game has been in development for 7 years, and it's hurt the reputation of the developer and of the game. And yes, there is hype to it, but the hype only lasts for so long. It eventually dies down, unless you are like Half-Life 3. But while yes, I am excited for a lot of these new titles, I'm not holding my breath for any of them to come out in 2018 or maybe even 2019.
So both Yoshi and Kirby, while they don't have specific names yet, were confirmed to be coming at some point in 2018. I would guess the holiday season. I agree with you. It's tough that there's not a release date for it. But I think that they're at least putting it on people's radar, which I think Nintendo knows that you come out with a Kirby game, you come out with a Yoshi game, it's going to sell. Yes, I also definitely think that they are going to, they know how those games work, and they've done a good job with it. And they've shown with Mario that they are able to keep making it fresh. And they show that especially with Odyssey, so I put complete faith in them that these are going to be quality products. And I think it'll definitely be, if they put it out at the right time, it'll definitely be a good way to revitalize the Switch console, which is somewhat short in games right now.
It has been selling well. It is a Legend of Zelda machine, which I totally understand, but that can only last you so long. And yes, they did announce a lot of cool projects. They talked more about Mario plus Rabbids a little bit. But again, my biggest thing is we got to see a lot of gameplay of Super Mario Odyssey, and that was awesome. That was kind of like what they did last year with Breath of the Wild. And I think this game is going to be very, very cool. This might be I don't know if it'll be as good as Breath of the Wild, but it might. I mean, with enough time, Nintendo has shown that they are the best team in development working today. I think they have the best library of games in just terms of like all time. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And I have played on a Switch for a little bit before, but this might, now that we have at least two or three long hour titles, I might finally invest in a Switch.
Mason, you're thinking about the most important announcement, though.
Oh, what was it?
Rocket League is coming to the Switch.
That is right. Oh, my God. Watch out, college dorm rooms. Rocket League is honestly, it might be, in terms of today, it might be the best co-op split-screen game you can play. In terms of just like, I played a lot of that game in college with some of my roommates, and that game is ridiculously fun. I would recommend it to anybody, any age. It is a lot of fun.
It's just so goofy, and it's fun. It's sports, but at the same time, it's not. So I'm really happy that they're bringing it to the Switch, especially it's coming out in the holiday season. So definitely people who are getting that Switch for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa will be having something else to play other than just Breath of the Wild, and be a great online game for that console to have, which it really is lacking, unless this new Splatoon hasn't come out, correct?
No, but they did announce Splatoon 2.
Yep, so that, once that comes out, and then once Rocket League comes out, I think it'll have a good variety of online games for that console.
So, is that all for Nintendo Max?
That's really all they announced. Like you said, a lot of it was just, we're doing this, get excited, woo!
Yeah, yeah. Which, to be fair, they can't afford to do, because almost all their games are so good when they have the time to develop it.
So Mason, now that we talked a little bit about Nintendo, what is your final grade for them?
I'm gonna give them a B, just because, you know, they know what they're good at. They just showed a lot of Mario Odyssey, which is what a lot of people wanted to see. And other than that, there wasn't really that much else, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. There could have been more. There also could have been a lot less. They could have just shown Mario Odyssey, and I think that would have been fine. But they did show us a bit more. They did announce what they are working on, but we didn't get release dates, and we didn't get to see much of that. So that's why I'm going to give them a B.
I'm going to agree with you. I think the new Mario looks so much fun. I love that they're trying to keep it fresh with some new mechanics. Also, they announced the new Xenoblade Chronicles, which fans of the JRPG genre will love. They did a really, really good job with that. But like we've already talked about, there's a lot of ifs in terms of when are games coming out and when we will see any sort of playable version of it. So honestly, if we look back in a year from now, E3 2018, these games come out, we may be able to bump the grade just because if Yoshi's really good or Kirby's really good. But I would give it a B question mark, because we don't know yet.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick pretty firm with my B. Just because, for the reason I already said, like, release dates are very, very important to me. I think it is very easy to announce that you're working on something, but not show it. That's why I give so much respect and props to Bethesda, because they only show things that they're ready to release, and I think that's very admirable. So, props to them.
All right, so now that we have covered the major keynotes that have happened, we're now going to talk about our favorite things at the show. So, first off, Mason, what was your game of the show?
Hands down, it was Spider-Man. Hands down. The combat, the gorgeous views, the classic Spider-Man humor, and they even dropped a Miles Morales Easter egg at the very end. I'm so excited for that game. It looks gorgeous. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to play the crap out of it. It will look amazing in 4K, too. So that one was hands down my game of the show.
So for me, it's going to be Wolfenstein 2. I was in love with the first one. One of my favorite games I played I think it came out in the early 2010s. I loved it. So I watched the trailer for the second one. I thought it was one of the top trailers of the show, just the environment terms. And they even showed you some gameplay during it, which looked absolutely beautiful, which I'm sure on the 4K consoles is going to look awesome. So I am personally most excited for that game. So finally, yep, we are going to announce the biggest award of the show. Who had the best conference of the big three, the ones who are actually putting out consoles, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. So Mason, I'm going to have you go first.
If you guys already listened to our grades, you know that we both think that we both think that Ubisoft had the best conference of all of them. But in terms of just the big three, I'm going to give it to Microsoft because they showed us a lot of new games, they gave us a lot of release dates, and also they showed us the big console, and they showed a lot of things running on that console. So I think they delivered on everything they wanted to. And the only thing that was really missing from that conference for me was just that big, huge exclusive like Halo or Gears. But instead of that, we got Anthem. We got actual gameplay of Anthem on an Xbox One X, and it looks phenomenal. It looks like it's going to be Destiny-type gameplay, but with a BioWare story. So I got to give it to Xbox. I got to give it to Microsoft for this year.
So even though I own a PlayStation 4, and I love it, I'm also going to have to give E3 2017 to Microsoft. The One X looks fantastic, and I think that, again, what Mason said, those new IPs that they showed, while it didn't show a typical Microsoft game, I think that they really were like, hey, we have this awesome new console coming out. We're going to push it to the limits and really show you what 4K gaming can be. And what I wanted to see with Sony was more PlayStation VR, since that's what they've been pushing. And since Microsoft has not come out with their competitor yet, they are...
I don't think they will.
Yeah, I agree with you. They have their augmented reality, which is a different side of Microsoft. But that's a talk for another day.
And let's also not forget that Microsoft came out... One of the biggest announcements they made was that the online library of their games is coming out with their original Xbox games, which people have been asking for forever. So you're getting the OG Xbox games as well. And people went nuts for that when that was announced. So I'm so glad that Phil Spencer was able to pull that out.
Yeah, so I think Mason and I are in consensus. Microsoft 1, Sony 0 in terms of 2017. Now we've gotten E3. I guess the hype is boiling down. Now we gotta wait for is the actual games to come out. So Mason, do you have any closing thoughts? Anything last things you want to say?
You know, I'm still waiting for Half-Life 3. I think we all are. I don't know if we'll ever get that game. But seriously though, the Xbox One X, it looks like that it is also playing on the fact that I think people aren't talking about a lot is that the Xbox One X is going to be the only console that has a 4K Blu-ray player built into it. And I think that also goes with the price. Because the PlayStation 4 Pro, that's one of the biggest disappointments with that console. And I'm very disappointed with that because I bought one. Is that it does not have a 4K Blu-ray player in it. But the Xbox One X does. And I think that that's going to be a big selling point for that console. And I've already said that I think that the Xbox One S will sell more than the One X, but the One X, I think, is marketed towards those that want the premium, the best possible gaming experience, and the success of the console will all depend on whether or not third-party developers take full advantage of the specs of that console. So that's my biggest takeaway or biggest thing I want to leave the audience with, really, is that note.
Yeah, so I completely agree with Mason on that note. E3 was exciting. I love this time of year, like I said in the previous pod, and I cannot wait for these actual games to come out. So, once again, thank you very much to listening to the Pressing Covers podcast. If you liked what you heard here, make sure to follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Twitter and Instagram, our handle is @PressingCover. And also make sure to go over to the main website, PressingCoverage.com. If you want to go see our rest of our content. And also don't forget to like and subscribe to us on iTunes and give us 5 stars. We would greatly appreciate. Thank you very much, Mason.
Yeah, well, time to get back to The Witcher 3, Max. Good talking to you, man.
Sounds good, man.